Sweet. I know that music.
Oh, that's so fun to hear again. We're back.
Oh, Poltergeist. Sweet.
Oh, hello, and welcome to The Klatch. You're listening to The Klatch on KVSH 101.9, Vashon. And I am Linda Nygaard. I'll be your host today. And in the studio, just like the old times, are Susan McCabe. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Linda.
I was going to say good morning, but it isn't morning anymore.
Good morning.
Hi, Heidi. And Heidi Skryfek sits here with us.
Hi.
You know, we took a long break, and we've missed all of you. I hope you've missed us. But, you know, our show started out as a COVID relief system. And in the end of COVID, when we were all out of the pandemic kind of mindset, we decided it would be fun to just sort of take a break. We all had a bunch of work that we were doing and busy living our lives. And, you know, we just took a break, and we're back. We found out that there are many other things that we can talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Besides, you know, the pandemonium caused by the pandemic. And so here we are again, the Klatch Redux, I guess. Yeah. And we look forward to reporting in once a month. And I think it's going to be on the first Tuesday of the month. We haven't decided that yet, but we'll let you know.
But you'll be hearing from us about once a month.
Yeah.
Whatever the case.
Whatever the case, whichever Tuesday it happens to be. But I thought today we'd just kind of do a catch up and find out what we've been up to. And what are we thinking about? Because there's just, it's been a while. So, yes. Susan, Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you.
Yay.
And to our listeners.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. So what's been going on, Miss Susan?
Gosh, not a lot. You know, we're in the depths of winter, and it's dark out there all the time.
I know.
So, you know, my social life is limited to somewhere between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Yeah.
That's about
it. Yeah. It's something. Yeah. And you, Heidi?
What Susan said, basically. And watching my work grind to a trickle, my freelance clients are all there, but the work has just gone to a slow drip. And it definitely makes me feel like we're in a recession.
Well, and yet we are not. According to all the economic whatever.
I think they lean into some shady numbers to get those figures.
Do you know,
my opinion.
Speaking of economics, I listened to something on PBS. Oh, no, it was Christiane Amanpour. Mm-hmm. And she was interviewing the woman whose name is gone right now, who's the director of the International Monetary Fund. Mm. And she was talking about how good things are now. Everything's so wonderful and the economies are so wonderful. And then she said there's jobs and people have homes and it's so wonderful. And at the end of the conversation with Christiane, I was like, this woman has no idea that their economic beautiful numbers have nothing to do with most of us. She said, and as far as people complaining about money, you've got a job. Be thankful. She actually said that.
And is it a job that allows you to afford a roof over your head?
Right. And enough food for your family.
And food, yeah. One of my clients is Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah.
And they're pretty clear on the issue of affordable housing.
So,
got it. So that's what happened. I was like, how merry is this Christmas going to be?
Well, speaking of Christmas, it was a long Christmas season this year, it felt like to me for some reason. And this January has already been 3 months long. Mm-hmm. It's just so gray and rainy and depressing. And
1 week in.
I know. But I had a really nice holiday season. It was very low key. Everything was kind of non-traditional.
Yeah.
Spent time with my kids in Portland, and that was fun. And mostly this year, solstice was a happening event for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked solstice and acknowledged it, but I've really never celebrated it with ceremonies or dinners or that kind of thing. And we did that this year.
Yay.
Yes, we did. It was
great. Yes, we did. The three of us were at the same gathering, and it was really fun. And I think one of the things that we did was write down our intentions for the following year, and we wrote down the things we want to let go of.
Yeah.
And then we burned them in the fire. It was just great. It was beautiful. So I wanted to wonder, did you guys make any New Year's resolutions or intentions, or is there something new that's you're thinking about for the new year?
I've actually kind of been moving my life around. One of the things I resolved for the New Year's is to make no New Year's resolutions.
I've
been lousy at keeping them, and I get up and make a resolution every morning and kind of break it every night. But but I am hopefully going to publish a book this year.
Oh, that's big.
I think that's a big deal.
It's very big. Yeah. And so I'm shifting the rest of my life around in service to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good for you.
I think that's wonderful, Susan. You're sort of honoring what it is that wants to come out. It's something new and something old, you know?
Me.
And me too. We're all old.
I'm looking ahead at less time in front of me than I have behind me. So it's time to make good use of it.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi, what about you?
I read your words, those exact words that you wrote. And that stuck to me.
Mm-hmm.
When those were sticky words, I said, oh, damn.
Yeah. Not as much in front of me as there used to be.
Point there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Intentions, yes. I'm a planner by nature. And this time of year, like when December comes around, I'm already looking in seed catalogs and figuring out my garden for next year. And what did I screw up in 2023 in gardening that I want to get? Like, I know it's a very pragmatic intention, aspiration, but that's who I am.
It's also an art.
Thanks.
It really is.
Yeah.
So that, and just things kind of around homesteading actually, which we'll talk about later, but that, and then athletic aspirations. I want to try to get in one marathon swim and ramp up some different types of exercise. So I started CoreCentric and finished Barbell Betty's at Vashon Strong. I like to dabble around at the different exercise offerings on the island, get different parts of your body and see how, and that supports local business too.
So you bet.
Right.
Cool. Yeah, that's great.
Right. Yeah.
What's a marathon swim?
Oh, thank you for asking. 10 kilometers or more, 6.4 miles or more.
Ah.
Like the nonstop cap goggles swimsuit only type thing. So that would take place for my body in Southern California.
I was going to say, where are you going to go to do this?
Yeah.
Or maybe Lake Tahoe or San Francisco, somewhere where the water's a little bit warmer than here.
Oh, but, good. I'm glad to hear that.
We're doing some cold water stuff out
here. I saw you.
I know.
I know. I was telling some friends of mine yesterday about your efforts and endeavors in the cold, cold water. And we were having breakfast together, and the two of them literally sat there with their mouths hanging open. Are you kidding me? I said, no, she's in the sound. That's for sure.
30 minutes. Yeah. Anyway, so that's it. Just garden things around the garden and athletics and nothing. And maybe I really need to be a nicer person.
Heidi.
I need to be nice. I have this. Oh, can I say this on the air? We may have to edit this out. I have a neighbor who implodes every time she tries to have a conversation with me. I push her button somehow, and then she loses her emotions and has a erratic emotional outburst at my front door and then goes hollering off. This has happened 3 different times, and the most recent was because I ordered a whole bunch of seeds for my son for Christmas, and FedEx delivered it to somewhere else. And she's a neighbor, and I have her on tech, so I reached out to her. This is the most recent outburst of hers. And so she says, no, I don't have the seeds, sorry. And turns out she found the seeds.
Oh, she did.
And she showed up at our doorstep day before yesterday.
Oh.
And she knocks on the door, and David answers the door, and she's holding the box back behind her shoulder, kind of overhead. And she goes, look what I found in the bushes in the driveway near my house. I almost didn't want to come here because of the way I feel I was treated by you when my dog went missing and your wife lit into me because a white dog, almost exactly like her dog, had gone tearing through my yard and we thought it was her dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last visit she had come by, I explained to her, like, your dog is missing? Well, a white dog just went tearing through the backyard chasing my chickens. And she started to cry and ran off. My dog would never do that. And then later on got a text.
Yeah.
Wasn't her dog. I said, oh my goodness, thank you for showing me this picture of your dog. This is not the dog that went through my backyard. Please accept my apology. She did not like the way that I didn't just like fall over.
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short.
So well, what makes you think that's about not, you not yeah, being a nice person?
That's not you. That's not about you.
Right.
That's not, because yeah. Heidi, you're one of the nicest people I know.
But I guess because what are the chances that a white dog goes tearing through my yard and her dog
at the same
missing,
moment,
and
I
get this like, oh, it's your dog that chased my chickens, and then it wasn't.
And everybody's on edge anyway.
So, yeah, everybody is on edge.
Everybody's on edge.
That's a result of COVID.
Yeah.
Plus,
yes.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves, and that is the passive-aggressive communication in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. And if you're clear and direct about what you say, well, it's not nice.
I know.
It's not nice to be direct.
I know. I'm so glad that I owned that I was wrong. I mean, on text, I told her, wow, I am really glad you sent me this photo because I was wrong. This is not the dog that was in my yard.
And that's a perfect occasion for her to say, oh, no worries. That's okay. It didn't work that way, you know? So that's not about you.
It was just taking everything personally.
But then to hold the seeds like this
and
be like, and she's like waiting for an apology. Yeah. I never got a full apology. I feel like I'm treated badly. And David, and I came through the door and I was like ready to talk to her. And then I was like, I did not light into you at all. We couldn't even finish a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to just yell. Her voice went up and she started to yell and talk really fast. David just stepped out on the porch and shut the door on me. I think he knew I was ready.
You were going to light into her.
Yeah. You want to see lighting in?
Oh,
anyway, thanks for letting me rant. This may be edited out, but maybe it won't. Maybe it'll stick. And so it's annoying when that happens.
Well, as part of the show, it's a good example of how neighbor relationships have deteriorated.
Yes.
Since COVID.
Oh, yeah. It's been tough.
And now that we're all trying to get together again, it's a little tricky.
It's different.
What
Everything's
can I
different.
Do to smooth it over? I mean,
there's nothing to do. Just leave it alone.
Oh, man.
Just leave it alone.
All right.
Does anybody want to know about my intentions?
I would love to know about your intentions. Help me help myself. Tell me.
You know, I'm with you, Susan. I don't make resolutions. It's just ridiculous. I'd like to. It would be really fun to keep track of, you know, but I don't. And
it's not fun.
Okay. So thank you. So I have an intention, a very strong intention, and that is to read more actual books.
Yes.
Like a real book where you turn the page and you hold the thing and it sits by your bed or your couch or whatever. And the first book that I'm going to read, I haven't read it yet, and I'll give you a report later, but it's called What's Cooking in the Kremlin? From Rasputin to Putin.
Yeah.
How Russia Built an Empire with a Knife and Fork.
And it wasn't just borscht.
It wasn't just borscht, that's for sure. And this woman who wrote it is a Polish food writer and historian. So she's got 100 years of chefs and knives and forks, and there's intrigue in it, and there's propaganda in it. It's just like she's citing all the things that sort of helped make Russia who it helped or deterred or whatever.
Yeah. Sounds like you've already read it.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I've done some research on her and the book and that kind of thing, but I haven't read the book yet. So I will report back on that. And then, you know, I have three other ones I want. I did make a resolution a couple years ago, which I kind of kept, and that was do not buy any more books.
Good for you. Yeah.
But I had to buy this one. I have to. And so hopefully next time it'll be a library book. So we have a wonderful library.
We do have
here,
a wonderful library, you know? And my environmental heart really appreciates
it's a wonderful
not buying new books.
And, I know. And I know.
I've been using my Kindle for a long time because of that order to read books. So I haven't read, although I did buy a book that I am reading now and I love it. It's called To Free the Captives,
ooh,
A Plea for the American Soul by Tracy Smith. And it's about racism and its systemic nature, and she does it through the history of her wonderful black family and ancestors. And
wonderful!
It's really beautiful, beautifully written, which of course fascinates
me. And you
me.
Have that on Kindle?
No, I actually bought
you
that
have
book.
The book.
I couldn't get it on Kindle.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't get it on Amazon. So
yeah.
But most of the time, yes, I'm reading on Kindle.
Yeah. You know, we've all had a lot of things going on too. Heidi, you got some new kitties.
I did. We lost a kitty when I was down in San Diego. When we came home, she, we believe, got taken by a coyote or a raccoon. Both were spotted in the yard that week.
Yeah.
And our hearts ached for a few months. And we ended up going through the process of trying to adopt kitties. And we applied online with a local animal shelter. And it's a very animal-first approach of this particular shelter. And we paid a visit to the kitty zone, and it was lovely. We ended up adopting from off-island because we left the one on the island with a bit of ambiguity, not knowing if we were deemed worthy of adopting.
Yeah.
We just we didn't understand. So we went ahead and adopted two beautiful little tortie kitties. They're 10 months old, and they're lovely. And our other two existing OG kitties are getting used to having them around, but they are delightful and they are indoors.
They're gorgeous little things.
And where did you end up getting them from?
From this shelter called Kitty DeVore Shelter in Seattle, on sort of a Seward Park area.
Oh.
And there was about four other cats in this little, looked like someone's workshop. Anyway, we brought them home. They're adjusting beautifully. We're sort of taking shifts, and I'm sleeping with them at night down in the guest room. It's so fun. It's
They're so darling. Yeah. Well, you had one that wasn't feeling very well.
Yes.
So you get to nurse her and take care of her.
Yeah, one of the two adoptees has a bit of a respiratory thing, but she's doing great.
That's
like
good.
It's pretty minor.
How old are they?
10 months.
Yeah.
So
cute.
It's a perfect age. They're young, but they're already through the
terribleness.
So that's new in my life. And
did they spay or neuter them?
They're all of it. Spayed,
good,
vaccinated,
good.
Dewormed, defleed, demited. Yeah,
de everything.
De everything. There's quite a rigorous feeding program. Like, this foster mom had a lot of time to do a lot of stuff, and I'm like, that's gonna change.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna, like, let me defrost your Darwin wet food. This is special blend, and then blend it down with the food processor to get it like a fine cook. It she cooks the raw food because of pathogens, and then she adds in a little flake from canned food and then puts some fresh flake on top of it,
and I'm some, like, sardines from Italy.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And it needs to be extra stinky
for
the one with the respiratory infection. It's fine.
It's really fun to get a new kitty. You know, I'm so glad many of the places now are requiring that you get two.
It is,
Which I think is a really good thing.
That
you
is
know,
a good idea.
I got mine, Diego, as a kitten during COVID, and I only got one.
Right.
And I really regret it because he needs a buddy, and now it's too late.
Yeah.
Because he really doesn't like anybody. I've tried,
I know,
and he really doesn't like anybody. So he's a bachelor, but I think it would be really fun to have two. I'm glad you have two new ones.
They actually call what you're describing in the literature single cat syndrome.
I don't want to know anymore because it'll break my heart.
Single cat syndrome.
Diego has relentlessly single cat syndrome.
Well,
he's a bachelor for life.
I have single woman syndrome. So we are a great match.
There it is.
One time somebody said to me, oh yeah, you're becoming the cat woman, and I said, I only have one, you know, it's not like I'm a hoarder. And they said, yeah, but drunk, divorced, and covered in cat hair, how about that?
ouch.
No, it was funny.
Son and daughter-in-law in Los Angeles, my daughter-in-law is known in her neighborhood as the cat person.
Is
they now have six cats.
Whoa.
Because they found two or three in a dumpster, kittens that they brought home. And then the cat shelter learned that, they will foster cats. The cat shelter does nothing to help them, does not pay for food, neutering, anything.
No way.
Does not even help them find homes.
You're kidding.
So now they're all living with them.
Oh, my gosh.
So they have six cats.
Whoa. Well, you know, I have a friend who had seven. I think she had seven. And it's a lot of work. They were all indoor.
That's a lot of work.
And her house never smelled.
Right.
The cats were healthy.
Smells,
it's, you know, and there are people who devote themselves, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people. I can do two cats.
You tried.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that's life on your home.
I know.
And the other thing that's going on with your home.
What?
I hear you still got the leaf blowers blowing.
Oh my God. Don't get me started.
Well, do a little. And don't just, because
speaking of pushing buttons.
Yeah, no doubt.
Speaking of pushing buttons. So, you know, I was talking with someone this morning who was really unaware of how damaging leaf blowers are. And I could tell that he was taking, not offense, but he felt umbrage because I was raving about the gas-powered leaf blowers. And he said, well, I just bought one. And I said, oh, well. And they said, it's electric, it's electric. I said, okay, that's okay. Because did you know that there? It's a small off-road engine is what they call it. It's a three-cycle gas engine. And there are, let me see, three. Okay, so if you run, let's say a lawnmower for an hour.
Yeah.
That lawnmower is the same as driving 300 miles from LA to Las Vegas.
For the pollution that it puts
pollution that it puts out.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, they are uncontrolled.
But let's talk about a leaf blower and what it emits. Mm. It's like driving 1,100 miles for an hour of leaf blowing damage to the environment for 1 hour. And very recently, I saw people here on the island, like five people in one place, five leaf blowers going in a big yard, and they're chasing like five leaves, you know, down to the corner or to the drain or to whatever. And I'm doing more research on this, and it's going to be a campaign of mine, really. But when you look at the damage that they cause, even taking the leaves off the lawn in the wintertime is damaging because of all the little insects that breed under there, and they eat under there, and they live under, and the frogs, and the birds come down and look for seeds under those leaves. And it's like those leaves are protecting our animals and our environment for the winter.
They also make good mulch. What
happened to rakes?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, what happened to rakes? I see them in the landscaping trucks, but I never
see clean.
Unused? All shiny, all shiny and nice. Yeah. So yeah, thanks Heidi for bringing that up because it's a real hot button for me. And there's a whole bunch of other statistics around how bad gas-powered leaf blowers are. I don't have information on the difference between an electric and a gas, you know, the benefits of the electric, but it's dramatic. Sure.
It drives me crazy though, just to see that kind of energy expended just to move a few leaves.
And I know.
It's strictly cosmetic.
And
it's totally cosmetic.
Wouldn't you be the angry neighbor though, to see some other person just moving those into your yard, which I witnessed on 104.
I've seen it too.
Last week.
I've seen it too.
Jerk.
Yeah. Like, how can you do that to somebody? I don't know. I don't know. Stay tuned. There'll be more.
Okay, cool.
As we work closer to spring.
I look forward to your data.
Thank you.
So, and your rant.
You know, another thing I wanted to mention is the person that I was talking to this morning is named Isaac.
Cool.
And he has a store next door.
Oh.
And I didn't know any, and he's very proud that he just bought an electric leaf blower.
And next door is right here on Vashon Highway. Next to the Gene Boss Studio.
Next to the radio station, yeah. He has opened a place called The Side Stack.
Love it.
And it's a music store, LPs, and oh my gosh, I went in. It was early and he wasn't really open, but I went in and looked, and his collection is astounding of old LPs and new LPs. You know, LPs are becoming or are now again.
Yeah. They're making a big comeback.
The big deal. Yeah. And everybody likes them. I know one of my sons collects old ones. So I think I can bribe him maybe to come up here and look at the studio. But he was wonderful, and he's got all kinds of great ideas for the community and music, and he's a rock and roll musician. He's a hard worker. He's very smart. He's got lots of stuff going on. So I would welcome all of our Vashon people to check it out. It's a really nice, comfortable, beautiful place. The lighting is even good in there.
Beautiful kind of low amber lighting, similar to the bar behind the pizza joint.
Which I really like.
That's interesting.
I mean, not that I would know. I've never had a drink there in my life. Joking. Yes, I have.
Your nose is growing. Yeah.
It's so inviting, though, that record store next door.
It is. It's very much so.
Yeah.
Yay, vinyl.
So, you know, a big topic I've been reading about a little bit, and I know, Susan, you've been reading about a lot, is artificial intelligence.
Ooh.
Let's switch topics here from music to
the
AI.
Big topic.
It is.
Totally.
And personally, I'm a little afraid of it. I'm fascinated by it. Yeah. And I haven't tried it out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Heidi, you had an experience.
Oh, well,
yeah,
okay.
Let's hear about that.
Real quick, but Susan, I want to hear your thoughts
on AI. I do too.
I've been shaking the money tree. As I mentioned, freelancing work is scant at the moment. So I've been throwing out my resume for contracts, in the process of throwing one in via LinkedIn. I was invited to submit my cover letter using AI with this AI generated tool. Push the button. Okay, let's give it a go. Bink. It's using my uploaded resume and my LinkedIn profile, and it generates within moments, like a quick as a Google search, this beautiful, articulate, nailed it cover letter about my experience and how it will apply to the company and what an awesome job it will be. And it pulled in the company's mission, because your company mission is XYZ.
Wow.
My experience in XYZ, and good vowels, good verbs, good everything. And oh man. And it was like 300 words. I mean, it was a full on letter. It wasn't just a little blip of a paragraph.
Yeah.
So it was masterful, and it did scare me to death also. I was like, damn, this is gonna put me out of a job.
Yeah, were you applying for a writing job?
And I edited.
And they
that.
Asked her to do it that way.
Yeah.
just think that's incredible. I have a question though. Mm. When you looked at that letter, mm-hmm. Is it, had you been writing in that style, or did it feel like your work?
No.
Okay.
It was too gushing, and it used a lot of my vocabulary. My vocabulary is a little heady when I write sometimes, and they did pulled a lot of words I would use, but just the framework of it. It was, in my opinion, too long. As an SEO copywriter, I like to keep things a little tighter and shorter.
What's SEO?
Just search engine optimization.
Okay, thank you.
I write for the web a lot. And so I try to crunch things as succinctly as I can.
Uh-huh.
And so when I, not like I talk.
You need a break somewhere.
Yeah. You don't get that on my talk. But anyway,
end of sentence.
It was great. It was amazing. So yeah,
wonderful.
That's terrifying.
It's really fascinating.
It's terrifying. Yeah. I kept hearing advertisements for hallucination-free AI.
I know. Whoa. What is
so
that?
I'm thinking. So now it's so human it can take drugs and go on trips.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so we looked it up before the show, and hallucination AI is
fake news.
It's a phenomenon wherein a large language model, whatever that is, often a generative AI chatbot or computer vision tool, perceives patterns or objects that are non-existent or imperceptible to human observers, creating outputs that are nonsensical or altogether inaccurate.
Yeah, that's fake news.
Is that fake news, or is that portraiture and, you
I'm
know,
not even
graphic?
Sure. It says it's nonsensical. So,
what does that mean?
Well, fake news is often nonsensical.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, it makes no sense. But nonsensical to me sounds like verbiage that wouldn't actually be articulate.
Yeah.
But they are saying, and it's altogether inaccurate. So, yeah, it could be fake news, I guess.
And graphics. Yeah. I think, you know, for me, I'm thinking hallucination, something that doesn't exist in a graphic form could be a monster or a planet that doesn't exist, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Imagine the rumors that it could start.
Oh, my God.
It already could.
Think of the panic that it could create.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Unleashed.
You know, you mentioned, this was off the radio, but you mentioned that there's AI in Japanese toilets.
I heard there's the big tech convention is happening in Las Vegas this week.
Yeah.
And they were talking about certain products that are on display, and one of them was a voice activated bidet seat.
Yes.
You know, we could have a lot of fun with that.
A little warmer, a little more pressure of the water, a little to the left.
Oh, that's a little hot.
Undulate.
Oh, a little bit faster.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's going to be a big seller.
Bingo!
Well, wouldn't it be? I mean, how much fun would that be to, you know, talk to your toilet? And yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Those toe-toes,
I bet,
man.
It's a good listener.
No smart remarks.
Oh, Hydrotherapy.
I have a friend who early on, before bidets were the thing, you know, in the 90s, went to Japan for a conference with Nike. And she came back and I said, so how was your trip to Japan? She'd never been, you know. And she said, oh my God, the bidets. And she said, they have push buttons on the walls and you just push the buttons and you get different, you know, cleaning.
Well, I want you to know methods. This is no longer exclusive to Japan.
I know, I know. But that, I'm saying that's when it first sort of started becoming, we started becoming aware of that. But back to artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good that's coming from that, too, in medical equipment development. I have a friend who actually develops medical equipment for operating rooms.
Oh.
And he says that AI provides them with information that they would not have thought of, that they couldn't put together to make this new, wonderful machine. He does heart and lung and air machines and stuff.
Wow.
So he's a big proponent of AI and insists that it isn't dangerous.
I would differ with that.
Well, I think I shouldn't say insists. I should say when I last spoke with him, he insisted, and this was a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So AI hadn't become what it is today yet. But there are good things that are happening with it in that regard. I just don't trust humanity.
Well, that's the question.
With it.
That is the big question. Mm-hmm. As it goes forward, how and who will be using it for what? Yeah. And that, and it has so much potential for
Well, doesn't it make you curious to kind of want to play with it a little bit? I'm like after Heidi's story, it's like, it was,
you should definitely play with it.
Well, I think I will. I think I will check out the resume writing thing.
Yeah. Just, you have to do that.
My freelance situation is much like yours at the moment.
Or you can just ask AI, who am I now?
We're going to take a quick moment to appreciate our underwriters.
Thank you.
Can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Market IGA and Vashon Plaza, one block west of the main highway, where you can find everything your family needs, from fresh produce kids specials, legendary meats, wine, spirits, and movies. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
VOV programming support is provided by Island Escrow, Vashon's only independent escrow company providing comprehensive service for all types of real estate transactions since 1979. On the web at islandescrow.net.
All right. We are back at the Clatch.
Thank you, underwriters. Without you, we wouldn't be here. And
that's
without
right.
those folks who are sustaining members of Voice of Vashon, you can become one of those people by going to voiceofvashon.org/donate.
Boom.
Yeah, do it.
You know, one of the things that occurs to me as I watch what's going on with our democracy and our country, et cetera, et cetera, is that community, independent, community-owned radio could get really, really important in the near future. So folks, hang on to it. Keep us going.
It's really important. And I think Voice of Vashon has a wide variety of programs, from music to politics to history to, you know, intuition, all kinds of things that you can... one thing I wanted to tell you that I forgot is when I was speaking with Isaac, who has Sidestack Music Store next door to the studio, he said the other day he was just in there, he wasn't really open, and he was just kind of fiddling around with records and things, and he said three teenage girls from Vashon High School came in to look and see what was there, and somehow the subject of Voice of Vashon came on.
Oh, no kidding.
And he said, I'm so excited about Voice of Vashon. And he was talking, he just wanted to know more about us and what we were doing. And he said, you know, those girls said they have Voice of Vashon in their cars all the time.
That's
like they live, it's like their home station.
Oh, wow. That warms my heart.
And they're teenagers.
That
and I'm
is
thinking,
great.
Oh, that's fabulous. I'm so glad to hear that. Thanks, girls.
Yay.
Come back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot, you're right, a lot of great music on here, and
a wide variety of talk shows.
And the other thing is, the folks who run the programming here on Voice of Vashon are open to just about anything you want to do.
Right. So if you have an idea of a show you want to have, bring it on.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
It's a really fun, exciting, and necessary communication tool in our community.
You get to learn some technical stuff too if you like to do the post production. I enjoy learning.
Yeah, I like it
too. Toys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just love it.
You can get lost in editing. It's really
fun. Yeah, you can.
It's
you
fun.
Can.
Susan taught me the fade out.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Susan taught me
on the
a lot.
Radio, not necessarily personally. You don't really fade.
I was going to say, you're fading? I don't think so.
I'm melting.
That does sound like that. It's
because it's raining and terrible out there.
Yeah. Okay. So what's our next topic?
Well, next we wanted to talk about homesteading. And what is that? And what's going on in the farming communities, maybe here on Vashon, maybe internationally? How are we doing with homesteading? And the reason I wanted to talk about this is I spent a couple days with my kids in Portland, and they have a subscription. They have a nice little house out in the country, and they're doing all kinds of homesteading things there, you know, planting and fixing fences. And it's a wonderful thing to see unfold. That's and so cool. Christine has a subscription to the magazine called Homesteading. And I saw it a couple years ago, but I haven't really looked at it. So I picked it up and was reading it. And I am so impressed with what this magazine imparts. It has ideas, how to fix things, how to make things, how to make do with things when there's something you need but you don't have. It's very bare bones and a lot of explanations and good detail and instructions. Also, there are a lot of guns in there. You know, I mean, it's at the end, end of the magazine. It's not like it's presented that way, but you know, it's that demographic.
Yeah, it makes you wonder who the audience is. Yeah.
So, well, it's my daughter-in-law, and she's not a gun-toting person. Right. You know, yeah. she says, oh yeah, I don't even look at that. She said they just got great recipes for storage of food and all kinds of things. So it prompted me to start thinking about the homesteading movement in this country, and we have such a plethora of it on Vashon.
Well, I need a definition, because to my mind, homesteading is sitting on a piece of property that's not necessarily yours.
Oh, no.
What are we talking about here?
You're talking about sharecropping.
No, that was homesteading. That was originally There was a law in the country. Like, people got their farms and so forth.
I know that.
By squatting, essentially.
Yeah, manifest destiny
Yes, and I think some people are squatting these days because they're homeless. So what are we talking about when you say homesteading? Give us a definition.
I guess
self-reliance.
Self-reliance and how to make your little farm the best place and it can be.
Farmettes.
It's little farmettes and
your little property.
Yes, yeah. And you're a property owner. I think homesteading is more like a panacea description for doing earthy things.
Okay,
that's fair, that but I can me. See why your head went
I can
there.
Too. Yeah.
Especially with what you're reading.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's kind of that era. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot to talk about here. I happen to follow the Homesteading RD on Instagram. Her name is Katie Kresic. She has a really interesting Polish last name. Katie, the Homesteading RD. She is a registered dietitian. She worked in clinical settings with trauma and people with bad gastrointestinal problems. And her whole agenda, she's got to be like in her late 30s. And she's out in Minnesota. Huge following. But her thing is healing people with real food, natural food, in a simpler way
Does
of life.
Does she grow it herself?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they started out living in Kansas City, she and her husband, and they ended up moving to kind of more suburban Minnesota, and they had a few acres there. And then her appetite got bigger to do what she's doing, homesteading, and she moved out. They bought a 250-acre spread. Ooh. And
That's a lot of food.
Northern Minnesota woods. Out in the sticks, and it's cold right now.
Yes,
you know
it
that.
Is.
She's got chickens. She's got all of it. She grows all kinds of stuff, and she's a great home economist with preservation. And so she has courses. So how does she monetize this living out in the sticks? She does some different courses, like raising chickens and processing your chickens. That's killing and butchering.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to do that.
I've done it. And I've taken courses on the island. Vega used to offer them, and they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then she does another just cooking and preservation and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So she monetizes through her courses. She also monetizes through products, cool garden gizmos and things like that that she actually uses in her day to day. And it is a ton of work. It is not like glamorous pioneer woman, look what I'm doing. It's not like the Oprah-fied version of running a farm. It's real grunt work. You're dirty, you're muddy, you're cold. You're also living large and eating wonderful food and you're doing it yourself. So that's Katie with the Homesteading RD. You know, other magazines, Modern Farmer. They're out of New York. Guess who they feature all the time? Kurt Timmermeister.
You're kidding.
Really?
And he was on the board.
Yeah.
He was like on the founding board of this magazine. And so they'll do profiles with him or he'll maybe direct them to someone else in this area. But they cover little homestead regions all over the country. Super cool. Mother Earth News is another great online and print resource.
Yeah, that's been around a long time.
Forever, right? Yeah. Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful hardcover book called Back to Basics. It's a Reader's Digest guide. It was published in 1981. I bought, and you can still find it in an Amazon to this day, like, or not an Amazon, like you walk into a brick and mortar bookstore and you can probably grab this beautiful hardcover book for 10, 12 bucks. And it has everything, caning a chair, staking your land and actually like, where's the best place on my land to grow a garden? Where's the best place to do this? Water wicking, like where you're witching, you know, divining where's the water, stuff like that. Like there's all kinds of stuff in this Back to Basics book. And also on Instagram is a home economist. She's like a cook at home in the South. Her name is Hannah Taylor. She's got the kind of
She's got it going on, that girl.
Old loose locks and gives you a wink and two if you're sexy. And, you know, she's just really. Lily Lou Tay is her Instagram handle. LILYLOUTAY. And I just learned how to make my own home-baked boulet using four ingredients and minimal steps because of this woman. So I'm all about this homesteading thing. Sign me up.
Do you remember the Foxfire books from the 70s? Mm-mm. Oh, come on.
No.
Well, I was a hippie back then and really into all the gardening. And Foxfire is a lot like the Homesteading magazine, except it's volumes of books.
That's my next question.
And it's quite wonderful. It's very bare bones, down to earth. Do this, do how to clean your chimney, how to grow cauliflower, you know, anything you need to know about independent living.
Yeah.
Well, and all that is environmentally so sound.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And to that, I have some facts and figures about
County. Our own King County.
It's about the farming. It's not necessarily homesteading, but it's quite an eye-opener. Susan, I'm going to quiz you.
Okay.
For King County, guess what the average net income of a farm is? Of a farm in King County.
Net income.
The net income.
I don't know, $30,000 a year?
That's about what I'd say.
It's $4,000.
Oh, my God.
That's the reality. That's the net. That's after everything, but that's the net. And that's down 20% from the last census. Before that, it was $4,800. farms, the amount of large farms have shrunk dramatically in King County.
I'm not surprised at that.
Like the 500 to 1,000 acre range has gone from 48 to 5 to 5 in the 2017 federal census.
And that's just King County, not the whole state.
That is correct.
It's King County.
That is King County specifically. Small farms, which is like 1 to 10 acres, like the Vashon type farms, those have gone up about 15%. 962 of those, which is not that many for this whole county.
No, it's not.
Because I think on this island, there's probably...
I was going to say, most of them are here.
They're probably...
thank goodness they're here.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
We are super lucky.
We are.
The people that we have on this island doing what they do. I think of Karen Biondo. I think of my friend Rebecca Lampier, who has a winery.
Oh, I know.
And a farm. That she... And she and I do farm trade. So my eggs and her produce every week. She came by at 6 o'clock this morning in the dark of morning and dropped a load on my, that sounds like she pooed. She brought a whole bunch of fresh veg
on
my porch. And she took 2 dozen eggs. Everybody wins.
Yeah, everybody wins.
But this is serious. Like, it's really a grim situation.
So what does this mean? What do you think
this means
that's what's going
through my head.
Plant. Yeah. We need to plant because we're getting more and more dependent on the system and the industrial mm-hmm. food system. And we...
And it's not healthy. It's not healthy at all.
Can we talk about production and distribution for a second?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because when you have a small farm like our on Vashon Island, we have our farmer's market, we have the farm stands, we have people who are, I don't know, shipping to somewhere else.
Right.
Their food,
yes.
For sure.
Road miles.
But how does it relate to economics when you're a small farmer and the big farmers are next door to you?
Yeah.
I mean, how does that work for the little farmers?
So if the big farms have to pull up anchor, or they're shrinking as they are in this data, right?
Yeah.
That means all of those infrastructure, those feeder markets and suppliers and vendors go away because they want the bigger boys. They want the
money.
So
they ignore the little guys?
Well, they
can't afford to...
They just they'll close that shop, and then
that's that.
LS Farm Supply or Tractor Supply is you're gonna have to go to the one in Kent now, you know, or, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, because they're gonna be where they're selling their products. So if they're not selling as many products because big farms are disappearing, they're going away. So it gets harder for the little ones to maintain their infrastructure mm-hmm. and do it in a cost-effective way.
I'd be really curious to learn what kind of government assistance is there for small farmers, because I know
none.
I come from big mm-hmm. farmers, mm-hmm. big ranchers in Montana, and there are lots of subsidies. It doesn't mean that they're getting gravy. You know, they're getting, they have crop insurance and that kind of thing, but you know, they could, like if they get a check for $100,000 in for 3 years or something from insurance, well, their combines are $350,000. You know, it's like the big farming is so hard.
Oh, yeah.
If you're independent.
Aha.
If you're corporate.
Not so hard.
Not so hard. Monsanto will help you.
I've
you
seen
and
that.
Therein I mean, lies one of the big issues with
exactly.
big farming, because they use pesticides
exactly.
and all kinds of chemicals.
And those cost money, so then they get subsidized.
Well, they cost money, plus the food that you're eating is tainted.
Is tainted, I know.
And if you, in addition to which, all that shipping creates pollution.
Mm-hmm.
We're shipping more food from all over the country, mm-hmm. and that costs the environment.
And it costs health of people that are in those I-5 corridor zones.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Right.
Their
right.
lungs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he, if you support local farmers, you're not getting pesticides. You're getting, for the most part, organic growing.
Mm-hmm.
You're
getting
fresh food, much mm-hmm. fresher than anything you're getting in the grocery store. Pardon me.
Exactly.
Driftway. And you're not polluting so much because there's not the huge delivery mechanism that has to pollute the air.
It would be wonderful if we could find some formula or some way of communicating this and transferring what we have on Vashon, how lucky we are that we can do this, and transferring it over to, you know, the bigger picture. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
There are people who are lobbying for similar subsidies for small farms those
and
that
they
are
should.
Large.
Yeah.
I don't know how far that's going to
mm-hmm.
get, but mm-hmm. I think the more prominent the environmental movement becomes in the legislatures here and
mm-hmm.
there, the greater the possibility that mm-hmm. there will be some subsidies for organic and local farming.
I hope so. You know, and one of the things we run into too, the organic thing is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The grocery stores try to have it, and they do. But I trust the organic farmers here. I know what they're really doing here.
Yeah.
You know, we know what they're really doing. I don't know what a farmer in Illinois is doing.
True. I want to shout out to, I don't know how to say the name very well. It's Tien Ten Farm. It's over mm-hmm. on West Side Highway in the sort of 240 zone, southern toward Frog Holler. They are working on the parcel of land owned by Amy Greenberg that used to be the food bank farm on the West Side Highway.
Oh, yes.
And they do all Asian vegetables. And
really?
It's super unique. And they have a farm stand in the fair
mm-hmm.
weather season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're younger folks, and they're doing it. And they live on that parcel, or they did, I don't know if they still do, alongside Amy, sort of adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And she allows them to come and farm their land. Now, that's super progressive.
It's wonderful.
And she just doesn't want to see all that wonderful, fertile land go to waste. So she allows them to just do their thing.
Just do it. Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of agreement they have on the back end, but it's so symbiotic. She gets the company of these awesome people, enjoys their veg. And we've kept bees there.
I haven't been over there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have
it's on West Side Highway.
West Side Highway, Tien Ten Farm. I'm so bad at pronouncing it, but I'll look it up and spell it for you in a second.
I think okay. It's just as an aside here, it's just so funny. I was laughing to myself as you were talking because you're saying on West Side Highway, Frog Holler,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
down the road a piece.
Yeah,
that's, oh my God, it's so funny.
That's how you give directions on Vashon.
I know. Take a left at that big tree.
Yeah. Or go by the Jesus Barn.
The, oh. Yeah, the what? The Jesus Barn.
That's
I know.
Right.
You know, that's interesting, our landmarks. Our yeah. landmarks on yeah. Vashon, mm-hmm. you know,
true.
Turn by Mom's Deli. Well, no one who doesn't live here would know what that means.
Yeah,
right.
Sorry, guys.
Right.
You know, yeah.
I went local on you for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Tian Tian. T-I-A-N-T-I-A-N.
Yeah, I think it's Tian Tian.
Or it might be Shan Shan.
It might be Shan Shan. I'm not sure if that's Chinese or Vietnamese.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool though. So check it out.
And some fresh bok choy.
They have a website.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah,
it does. I want to check it out.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So any more? Do we have any more farm stuff on homesteading ideas or?
I think we nailed it.
I think we covered it.
The only thing I would love to see on the island is more ecotourism. And you know who actually is doing that is Kurt Timmermeister. He is hosting classes on his farm. Now that he's not running all the ice cream stuff in Seattle like he used to, he's centralized back on his own property right here off the highway, in fact. And he'll have people come and do cooking classes, and they're more like salon dinners, you know.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
It's
I've
so
heard
cool.
about that.
He
yeah.
started out doing those, and mm-hmm. at that time we could afford it, and they were fabulous.
Yeah.
Do you hear that, Kurt?
Oh, Kurt, please let us come for less.
So expensive. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
But it's pretty neat. So that's kind of the deal on the thing. That's
you
all.
Know, can we go back to yeah. homesteading for 1 second?
Totally.
And this has nothing to do with homesteading, but it's sort of underneath it.
Mm.
I read an article this morning about Governor John Edwards in Louisiana, and he left his job. A new governor came in, but Governor Edwards had chickens at the governor's mansion, and so the new governor decided he was going to keep them. They were property of the state, right? And so it has to stay there. And the new governor decided he was going to keep them, raise his own eggs, and won't this be fun?
Yeah.
And then he changed his mind.
Oops.
There's too much poop and there's too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
So he gave the chickens back to the original owner. And so now they're on his property and everybody's much happier that way. And I just thought that was the cutest story because, you know, people think, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll get some chickens.
Yeah, right.
They'll be
good. Messy. Ducks are messier. But
oh, ducks
messy.
Are way messier, oh, yeah. But chickens are really messy too. And then another thing, along, this is more about style, I think, than anything else. I read an article about Birkenstocks.
Mm.
And Birkenstocks, you know, homesteading, Birkenstocks, it kind of all fits.
Mother Earth.
Mother Earth.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they are, there's a huge resurgence now, and Birkenstocks are considered really fashionable in many circles. And you see people now in New York in their Birkenstocks, and they're so proud of themselves that they learned how to do these wonderful new shoes. And I'm thinking, wow, we had Birkenstocks. I mean, you know,
in the 70s,
sandals and, but you know, Birkenstocks started out in the 1800s. I mean, they've been here forever.
They're kind of, I've seen some cuts that are plastic instead of the old leather style. They're almost like Crocs.
Birkenstocks.
They're like Crocs meet Birkenstocks. Oh, yeah, let's call them Birkenstocks. I'm going to be trade naming that after this show.
I think that's a good one.
Birkenstocks is my retirement plan right there.
I think that's a good retirement plan. Yeah. So, you know, that brings up a whole other subject about farming is all the gear you need.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not going to be farming in your Birkenstocks, obviously, but there's a lot of expense around coveralls and boots and gloves and things you have to have, especially in this wet climate.
And even machinery for a small farm.
Oh, heck
well,
yeah.
Sure.
There's machinery.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
stuff falls apart. And I have the same pair of Muck Shore boots I've had for 19 years, almost 20. It'll be 20 in May. And they've got holes in the neoprene and they're ratty and horrible looking. Somebody just posted a pair of Bogs for $20 that didn't fit them. And you better believe I descended upon the... Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
So now I have my new Bogs and my scrubby old shore boots.
That's
I think about
that's
these
another
things.
Topic for the underground economy, and that is used clothing.
Yes.
Oh,
and bartering.
We're going to do it.
Yeah,
let's
do
cover
that
one.
As opposed to fast fashion.
Yes.
That you can't. It's pretty amazing right now, the amount of trash that's in fast fashion.
Textile crap.
That sounds like an interesting, you know who might be really fun to talk about that with is Jan from Country Store, because she knows about the, you know.
Good point.
I bet she'd have a lot of information. Uh-huh. I'll be giving her a call. Jan, are you listening? I'm calling you later.
That second level, I've shopped in when they have the pop-up.
Oh my gosh.
Of the used clothing. It's good stuff.
It's great good stuff.
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple really good places to get used clothes. Granny's.
Yes.
And
Rocket Jet.
Rocket's gone.
Lunabella's.
Lunabella.
That's the one I was trying to
think
of.
Thank you.
She's got a beautiful boutique used clothing.
I've been seeing some of her stuff online, and it's very avant-garde and put together. It
Tessa's
looks really
got
good.
Great taste and a good eye. But
Well, Susan, you have been a fanatic about clothes for a long time, and you always look so put together and so good. And then I know that you buy a lot of your things from Granny's or Lunabella.
Half of what I'm wearing today is secondhand.
Mm-hmm. And I think,
amazing.
I don't know, there used to be a big stigma about that. You know, I went into the dentist a few months ago, and I was standing in the line waiting, and a woman behind me said, "Oh, I just love your scarf." And I said, "Oh, thank you." And it was a new favorite of mine. And I said, "I got it for $4 at the thrift store." And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry you have to go to the thrift store. I'm sorry you're not rich enough to buy all this new crap."
I know it.
Yeah.
Man. I was like, I said, "Oh, don't be sorry." I said, "I found a bargain and I'm really happy with it. And you like it too, obviously." It kind of angered me. And then I thought, I need to shut up now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's always a question mark in my
but
head.
But I'm sorry?
I'm sorry.
Wow. Yeah. So.
I would love to tell you about some of my scores. We'll talk about that on another show.
Right, we can do that.
Okay.
Really quick, I would love to hear from our underwriters.
Oh, I think we better. I'd like to, too.
It'd be rude not to.
Yeah.
This portion of VOV programming comes to you with support from Vashon Center for the Arts. VCA provides quality arts experiences for all ages and creates opportunities for artists to perform and exhibit their work. Find out what's happening at VashonCenterForTheArts.org.
VOV programming is made possible in part by the generosity of Vashon Island Baking Company, serving handmade pastries and island-roasted coffee in the heart of town. On the web at VashonIslandBakingCompany.com.
Thank you to our underwriters.
Thank you, underwriters.
I wanted to just say really quickly on the secondhand clothing note and the thrifting note, mm-hmm. I don't go to Granny's enough. I really don't.
I don't either.
Years I hadn't gone in, and I was looking for a base for a wreath. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll just go to Granny's during this holiday season. Oh my God, you guys.
I know.
What the heck?
I know.
Has everything.
But the line.
The line. Oh,
wraps around the entire counter console from the entrance of the store all the way around.
I know.
And I didn't understand what I was looking at. I'm just like, I go to the store. I find the frame. I find the backing. I'm like, okay, I can take all the crud out of this and reuse the base. So then I'm like, go to the counter, and then I notice there's a line. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
And then
it's wraps longer.
Around, and then holy mackerel, it's all the way to the front of the, I don't have time. What's my time worth? Pencil out my time.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I laugh.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Well, especially if you go on Wednesday, which is the first day they're open in the week, the line standing outside the door it goes around the block.
At the beginning of
but
hours.
The point of that is Vashon is big on reusing.
Right.
It must be.
Recycling.
And Wednesday has the good stuff.
Really?
And Granny's takes that money and donates it to
back
our healthcare system.
I
think that's so great.
Yeah. I do too.
And they've gotten more savvy with online merchandising. Mm-hmm. And then they have somebody with a keen eye that's pulling the really valuable collectible stuff.
Yeah.
And then they market that. I find that so cool.
They're really, really effective.
I know. But what that does to us regular people means all the good stuff goes somewhere else. But anyway, I'm okay with that.
I was just shocked. I had no idea it was such a scene.
Okay, we need to get going here. If you're taking the time to laugh, you're doing something unbelievably brave. You are protesting against the sorrow by remembering, even if only in small moments, that the world is still good, that there are still things to laugh about. Don't forget, this is Catherine Sitkiewicz, a Polish author. It's been wonderful. I wish we had done it more often, but now we'll see you again next month. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great time today.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.